I'm talking about something that's very near and dear to the heart, and that is the term Abrahamic faith. Because I do believe there's good news through old man Abraham. I use that term very conscientiously now that I got my AARP card at 50. Even though I feel like I'm still in my 30-somethings, Jacob, my grandson, was doing Boy Scouts and he needed a pull-up thing. So I built a pull-up thing and I did 3 or 4 or 5, I don't know. But I could still do a pull-up. So I just don't know about this thing. I still feel young, you know. But when you talk about Abraham, God didn't start working with him really until he's 75 years old. Think about it. So what makes him so special? And I know I pastored a church in Glendale, California for 8 years. And we had, Valley View Bible Church, Abrahamic Faith. And we put that in the phone book and we'd get calls. Are you Jewish? And the answer is no, we're Christian. But it's a good question. A lot of scholars now are coming to understand, and they use this term a lot, the Abrahamic religions. Because the Jews trace their lineage back to Abraham. The Christians trace their lineage back to Abraham. And the Muslims trace their lineage back to Abraham. Someone has said, we all live lives of quiet desperation. The older I get, the more important I think that statement is. You know, I just buried my mother last January, and so there's no... Someone said, now there's no generation, Mike, between me and the grave. And that's kind of sobering, isn't it? No generation between you and the grave. But, you know, as you think about that, God appeared to Abraham 8 times. Now, depending on how you count the angel of the Lord and some of the discussions in Sodom and Gomorrah as he was going down 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10, and all that, you know, but basically, I count 8 times that the Lord God or his angel appeared to Abraham and talked to him directly. And I ask you why. Was he hard-headed like Joe Martin? I don't know. Was he hard-hearted? Did he need some help in that direction? I don't know. We're out at lunch, and Brother Aaron says, you know, you only got about 4 basic sermons, and you throw in all your illustrations. And that's right, Aaron. When I teach class, I have 30 sermons a semester. I could start a sermon on anything in the Bible, I think. I taught Old Testament for 15 years. I taught New Testament now for 10 years. I just want to jump in anywhere, Brother Harold, and just start on this thing. But I do have basic things I like. I like God. I like Jesus. I like the kingdom. And I like to tell my pumpkin center stories. And one of them is based on a Tony Campola story, and that's illustration, you're going to die. And the story is, and I'm a fan of Tony Campola because he's a sociologist, and I have 2 degrees in sociology, so I like to see a sociologist understand religion a little bit. But he said he attended church one day, and it was a graduation ceremony, almost like the young people have today. The young people are sitting up front, and I love this perspective, the young people coming up front. And it was graduation day, and he had, you know, 7 or 8 seniors graduating from this church. And he said, we're celebrating these young people today. Susie is going to Harvard. And there was a roar in the congregation. And Johnny got into Yale, and there's a roar in the congregation. Obviously, it's a Philadelphia area church. So, and he went on down the line, and the pastor says, isn't it wonderful that our young people have graduated and now they've been, you know, going into college, and we just celebrate that. And he says, I have one thing to tell these young people today. You're going to die. They're going to dig a 6-foot hole, drop you down, throw dirt in your face, and go back to the church and eat potato salad. And that's a sobering fact. There it is, Corey. That's all I got. That's a sobering fact. You know, and when my father died, and when my uncle died, and when my mother died, you know, it's a sobering fact. How is God going to get our attention in between the birth and the death? As Sir Anthony says, hatch, match, and dispatch. You know, between the hatching and dispatching, how is God going to try to get our attention? And here's how he did it with Abraham. Now, I started the microphone off with Jake. Now, anybody that wants to read, Jake will go down the line, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, until we find somebody that doesn't, and just keep passing it around to, I didn't go to individuals and ask, but yeah, it's on, good. If you look at this, let's go to Genesis, and we're basically hanging in there with Genesis. Genesis 12, and I'll quote a few other verses, but basically hang with me there. Let's follow Abraham and see why this is such an important situation that we're dealing with Abraham. Jake, go ahead, if you don't mind, and read Genesis 12, 1 through 3.
The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and I will you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you."
Yeah. Who is this man, Abraham? We know Ur of the Chaldees was a polytheistic place. They worshiped many gods, just like Egypt in the cradle of civilization. Sumer and Egypt, we understand written history began about 3,000. Abraham comes along about 2,100. But who is this guy that God is calling? He is a nobody. He's an old man. He's probably way beyond his prime, he thinks. But these are the people that God likes to use. If you remember the account of Gideon, the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon. Gideon is threshing wheat in a wine press. You thresh wheat on the hilltop. You press wine, grapes, in the foothills where it runs down in the bottom of the vineyards where you pull all the grapes. You're stomping grapes. And he's threshing wheat in the wine press. Not on top of the hill, he's down below. And the angel says, "Mighty warrior." What is Gideon's response? "Who, me? I'm the least. I'm the last of my clan. Who are you doing talking to me? Mighty warrior." That's the people that God's going to start to use. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, in our weakness, that's when the Lord is strong in our lives. So God is taking a 75-year-old guy and taking him to Haran. Verse 4. So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. This is not a young pup. This is a 75. The psalmist talks of 70. He's over that. Okay, Jacob, would you read verse 7, please? 12, 7. Now, after he left, notice what happens.
The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." So he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him.
This is a very interesting thing. After Abraham listened to the word of God, this is a very critical step in our Deuteronomy 6-7 process. Where is the most important place to teach our children? In your home. Because Deuteronomy 6-7 says, when they lie down and rise up. It's not in Sunday school. It's not in Bible school. It's in church. When they're eating, it's usually at home. When they're coming and going, it's usually to and fro from home. So the most important place to teach is in the home. And so when you look at this, you know, the first important thing is to listen to the word of God like Abraham did. And Genesis 12:4 is just as important as Genesis 12:1-3. We always talk about the Abrahamic covenant. Land, descendant, blessings. Well, that's a wonderful thing. What if he hadn't left? So Abram left. So action is critical to God's plan. The most beautiful picture of this to me is the Israelites crossing the Jordan into Israel. Here are the priests. Here's the Ark of the Covenant. The Jordan River is flowing, and so the water is saying, everybody's saying, oh, what are we going to do? When does the water stop? Somebody tell me. When the priest put their foot in the water, when there was some action after listening. So Abraham not only had to listen to the word of God, he had to act on the word of God. Now, it's getting very strange here. Over in the right side of your little cheat handout sermon outline, I put big sins of Abraham. I put big in quote because I don't know what big is or not, you know. But in verse 13, he lies to Pharaoh about who his wife is. Now, you say that's only a half lie. Well, that's the same thing as the Garden of Eden half lie. A half lie is a lie, is the way I understand it. So he lied to Pharaoh. So even after following and listening, he still got problems. Okay, Casey, would you go with chapter 13, verses 14 and 15? Now let me set this up just a little bit. So now he's gone into Haran. He's got a lot of stuff going. Lot is getting a lot of population of sheep too. So Lot's kind of problematic. There's not enough grass to feed both flocks. So Abram lets Lot choose. This is beautiful. God can do whatever he wants to do. I love Romans 8:28, thinking about that verse, Brother Joe. We know that God causes, in the ESV says, God causes all things to work together for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. It doesn't matter sometimes where you go right and left, just as long as you're not going against the word, God can make it work out. Amen? God will make it work out. The tough times, the hard times. So this is after the separation of Lot, even. Okay, Casey, sorry, interrupt.
The Lord said to Abram after Lot had parted from him, "Lift up your eyes from where you are and look north and south, east and west. All the land you see I will give to you and your offspring forever."
Yeah, and so Abraham moved his tent. Abraham is believing this thing a little more now. He went into the land. He's having an abundance. God is blessing him. God is protecting him. He's coming along. He's doing eight. And so Romans 8:28 seems to be kicking in. He's loving God, doing it according to his will, and it seems like this thing is going good. So what's the process? Listen to the word of God. Study the word of God at home. Read it. Pray it with your children. You know, go over this thing and act on the word of God. Do the word of God. Believe the word of God. And then who's next? Whoever's next. Jenny, who's up? Let's see. 15, 1, 5, and 6. 15, chapter 1.
After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward."
Okay. Now jump down to verses 5 and 6.
"He took him outside and said, 'Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them.' Then he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.'"
Go outside. Look up. Look at the stars of the sky. And we know there are billions and billions of stars. You can't count them. I'm looking at Alva. We think about Arizona, but one time I was up in Prescott, Arizona. The sky is so clear. I was helping Brother Jerry Graham put in a water line in his subdivision. And we got up on the tank on a clear night and just laid on the water tank and looked up at the sky. And I'm like, wow. Psalm 19. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his hand." You can't count them all. And that's what God did to Abraham. But did you notice a little interlude between verse 1 and verses 5 and 6? Abraham said, "Oh Lord, I'm childless. And maybe my servant Eliezer of Damascus can take over. You haven't given me that child yet." So his faith is a little shaky there, Kurt. His faith is a little, he's not there yet. He's working on it, but he's not there yet. But God says, "Look out. Look out at the sky. You know, count the stars, and if you count them, you know, that's your problem." So we have to look at this thing. And God is saying in that verse, don't be afraid. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. So an element of love, you have to love me. You have to just come before me, see what I say, and believe who I am, and know that I will do it. It's a process, folks. It is a process. Don't think you're going to get this, you know, like that. Like that. All right. So let's go on. Who's next? Let's read the... Stop. So after that beautiful consultation with the Lord God, looking up at the stars in the sky, they go on for a few more years, you know. Nothing is happening. Sarah's barren. So how are we going to work this out? You know, let's figure this out. And when men and women, bless our hearts, get involved in God's plan, quite often we mess it up. Now, 16:2 is kind of funny in some versions, and I'll read that. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian handmaid named Hagar. So she said to Abraham, you know, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go and sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I... Whoa. Stop. Stop the presses. Think a minute. Perhaps I can build a family through her. So in Africa, I said, is this the Lord God's, Mulungu, Yahweh, Jehovah's idea or Sarah's idea? Whose idea is it? Is it Sarah's or God's? And the answer is... And bless our heart, we stupid men... In the notion and field of sexuality, Brother Joe, you're going to have to counsel with us. Abraham says, okay. I don't know. I'm calling that sin too. And then, when Hagar's pregnant, like the, you know, many fathers in the United States, oh, let's just kick her out. Yes, dear, that'll be fine. No responsibility. No responsibility for the child that's coming. I don't know. Maybe that's sin three. I don't know. All right. Okay. Go ahead with 17:1.
When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless.
Go ahead down to verse 19. Did I say 19 or what?
19.
Yeah, 19. Read that.
Then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him.
Did you catch the age? This is getting a little problematic, folks. You know, ladies, when does menopause come? Guys, when does that, you know, process stop? You know, we're getting a little in a problematic area now. 99 years old! There's no Viagra, guys. I'm sorry, that was a little creepy. There's nothing, you know, what, you know, these folks not only are barren, but they're 99 and 89 years old. In man's thought, this is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But this is when we have to know what chapter 17, verse 1 says. The Lord God appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. The Hebrew on that is El Shaddai. I am God Almighty. If he can make a donkey talk, if he can work through his son and feed 5,000 off of 5 loaves and 2 fish, do you think he can make an old man, an old woman have a baby? Well, yes. He's God Almighty. I won't tell you what Dr. Guthrie said. Dr. Guthrie at Columbia Theological Seminary, one of the great professors that I had for my doctoral program, said, I'll spell it out for you so it's not to finish. God can do whatever the H-E-L-L he wants. If he wants a 99-year-old man to have a baby, he's got to do it. Sorry, I don't know. Think about that. Well, we must know. Now, first of all, and let's back up just a little bit to verse 17. 17:17 is a little kicker here, you know. And Abraham was receiving this message that next year he's going to have a son through his mother, you know, and so on and so forth. I will bless her, surely give you a son by her. I will bless her. She will be the mother of nations of kings, and peoples will come from her. And Abraham fell face down and laughed. Hello. Stop the presses, Jamie. you know, fell face down, left. Damien's almost due any day now. Any day now. Talked to Joseph and Jamie. So the first one took a long labor. Was it Julie? Took like 5 hours. So we're looking for a 30-minute push here. Okay, Jamie. No, I don't know. Whatever. It could come any day now. So, Jamie, we're praying for you, girl. But 99 years old, it's not happening unless you believe in the Lord, that the Lord God will do what He says we will do, what He will do. Now, folks, this is my definition of Abrahamic faith. Pastor Jim, Pastor Wally, Pastor Mike, all the brothers and sisters who've been in the church a long time, this is just my definition. Abrahamic faith is believing that God does and is exactly what He says in His Word He is and will do. Amen? Now, there's a little thing going on here. If you look up to verse 16, it is, notice the wills in here in the NIV. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her and she will be the mother of nations and kings of people. Kings of people will come from her. That's pretty forceful if you ask me. But when my father, when I was 15, when my father got in my face with that finger, I remember that very clearly. You will get up. You will go to school. You will be in by 11 o'clock. You know, I was. I knew that will was a forceful will. And when God says to Abraham, and He's going to say it 50 times, 50 times, I will, I will, I will, I will. This is the force of the promise that's going to bring us Jesus, and God's going to work through this old man. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And the point is, surely trust Him. We have our song. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Surely trust Him. And go ahead over. Who's reading next? In 18, 10, 13, and 14. Surely trust Him for the appointed time. 18, 10, and 13. Now this is a setting where the angel of the Lord is going down to Sodom with his two buddies. And the angel of the Lord is speaking to Abraham. And surely I'm going to talk to him. And here's what he says. 10, 13, and 14. Ready? Is it on? Got the green light? Yeah, you're good.
Okay. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time and life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him.
By the way, Sarah, this is where Sarah laughs also. But God goes on, 13 and 14.
And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I have surely bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son.
Yeah. God is so sure, even though Abraham has already laughed at him, even though Sarah now is laughing at him, it will happen. This will come about. If we don't have this baby, we don't have David. If we don't have David, we don't have Jesus. And so this is going to come about by the forcefulness of the will of God, as long as we eventually submit to His will. You know, I kind of like old man Abraham. Come on now, lighten up. You know, God has a sense of humor. I kind of like old man Abraham. And when he laughs, God says, okay, we're going to name your kid Laughing Boy. You know, how would you like to come in? Oh, hey, Laughing Boy. Hey, Laugher, come on in. How would you like to have that? God has a sense of humor. Yitzhak means he laughs. You want to laugh at me, God said? Okay, here's your name. You want to make a donkey talk? Well, here's what he's going to say. Haven't I been your servant all this time? Why are you beating on me? When the Lord wants to do something, He will do it. So, but He does have a sense of humor. He laughs. This is kind of interesting. But surely trust Him for the appointed time. Now He's 99 years ago, and ladies, I don't know how old you are, but this chick, Sarah's got something going on you need to figure out. She's 99, and He's still lying for her. In 20 verse 2, He lies to Abimelech that she's my sister. And that's a half-truth. Rebecca and Corey and
You know, Myra, we need to, you know, consult with each other on this and see what the formula for that is. I better not go there. I'm only going to get in trouble, so I stop. But look at that lady. She, for him to have to lie about his wife at 89, she must have had some Egyptian cosmetics or something going. I don't know. You can counsel with me on that later on.
But so now the process, look at the process. If you go down the bold words, you need to listen to God. You need to act on God's word. You need to totally believe God. You need to love God with no fear, knowing that this is going to happen. You just need to know that He's God Almighty. If He says it, He's going to do it. And you must surely trust Him. And then you must always believe. 21:12, Isaac is born in chapter 21. Isaac is born in chapter 21. And now the Lord was gracious to Sarah in verse 1, as He had said, and the Lord did Sarah what He had promised. And Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised. And Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore. Jim, would you read 21:12?
But God said to Abraham, "Do not be distressed because of the lad and your maid. Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her, for through Isaac your descendants shall be named."
This is a critical verse. This is a critical verse. Through Isaac, that one seed, the Greek word for seed is sperma, that one sperm, that one boy, is going to be through whom I'm going to bring that eventual seed of Abraham, seed of David, the Messiah Himself. And so this is a very critical verse. Through Isaac shall your seed be called, in King James says. Through Isaac, always believe. Does God really mean what He says? Here's what a lot of people say. Where is the promise of Jesus' coming? We've heard that stuff all these years, Peter said. He says, many will come in the last days. Scoffers will come saying, where is the promise? God said it. This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come. And a lot of people say, oh, baloney, B-O-L-O-G-N-A, that can't happen, that won't be. But listen, Abrahamic faith, people says, the Bible says it, I'll believe it. I don't care if it takes 3,000 years. He's not coming 2,000 years. I don't care. If God says it, I believe it. Everything that God has ever said and ever promised, He's done. And that's what Abrahamic faith is. I believe it because God says it. That's enough. But now here's an old man being checked out. And finally, 25 years of waiting. If you had to wait for 20, Jim Madison prayed for his wife for 5 years. Mary Helen. Didn't come. We were talking about this at lunch today. Five. What if you had to wait 25 years for something that you were expected? You would be into God's face quite a bit. Maybe you'd lose your faith. Oh, He hasn't answered me in 10 years. Let Eliezer be the heir of it. I don't think it's going to happen, God. Yeah, I know what you said, but it doesn't. You know, maybe it was just a dream. Maybe it was just a vision. And then, what at 15 years or 20 years, you wanted to do that thing. I always wanted to go to school and get an education so I could teach at the Bible college. It didn't happen for a long time, folks. It didn't happen for 30 years. It didn't happen for 40 years. It didn't happen. Finally, when I was 50, I could afford it, and I did it. Sometimes you have to wait on God. What is that Isaiah passage? You know, wait on the Lord. Bound up His wings with those who... And so this is critical. But this verse is so important. Through Isaac shall your seed... Now this is the Word of God. This is the ipsissima verba, the very words of the Lord God, that this child, not Ishmael, not any other baby that they're going to have, but this child is going to be the descendant line of Abraham. Does God really mean what He says? We don't know when Genesis 22 happens. Maybe it's a bar mitzvah time, 12 or 13. Maybe it's only you know, 8 or 9. We don't know exactly. Any scholars out there? Anybody have a clue on this?
If there's nothing in the Bible. Am I misspeaking here? I haven't found anything where it gives a specific date. But somewhere a time where the boy knows, has understanding, because he says, Daddy, where are we going? You know. And his daddy says, we're going to worship. And so we don't know when this happens, but let's read it just a little bit. I'll read verse 1 and 2. And Rebecca, would you read that? Sometime later, that's all it says. Sometime later, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, here am I. I like him now. 110 years old or whatever, he's ready to rock and roll. He's got his son. This is the son of promise. What do you want, Lord? Everything you told me is true. Everything I've done is according to your word has come to pass. Lord, whatever. Here am I. Almost like Isaiah. Here am I. Send me. What do you need, Lord? Here I am. Then God said, take your son, your only son. By the way, LXX, Septuagint, only begotten. Monogenes. Remind you of Jesus? It should. Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Lord, have mercy, we would say in the South. Wait a minute, God. You didn't call me till I was 75. You know, I worked through this thing for 25 years. And then the baby came, and then now you say you want me to offer, kill Isaac? Lord, what? Oh, just read some of this. And as they were going, it's kind of sad if you think about that. Rebecca, go ahead and read verse 5.
He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you.
There's something in there that may be a hint. We will come back. Here is this. In terms of human reasoning, and here is this stupid old man thinking he's going to bring his son back after he worships. Hebrews 11:19 says, Abraham reckoned, I think King James says, Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. Why? Because finally, and this is it, folks, finally at 110 years old, God said, through Isaac shall my seed be called. This kid can't die or else God's a liar. This kid must come back to life. Abraham reckoned and reasoned that God would raise the dead, Hebrews 11 said. And he was right. God is not a man that he should lie. Amen? Numbers 29:19. God is not a man that he should lie. Our God doesn't lie. Our God doesn't die. This is Abrahamic faith, folks. It's amazing. It's amazing. The final thing is worship. No matter whether you're there or not, worship the Lord your God. I don't know why he's doing some stuff. I'm like Job, why is this happening to me? You know, why is this going on sometimes? And you of all people should ask that too. Lord, why do you allow this thing? Why do bad things happen to good people? And I don't know the answer, folks. But I do know that the Lord God is good. The Lord God is working his plan. Even though we made bad choices in the beginning, it is going to work out. What shall separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? Heights of death, principalities of power, things present, or things... No, nothing. In all these things, we're more than conquerors. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I believe that. I do. I don't want to be... I believe it for Beth. I believe it for Melody. I believe it for Bob. I believe it for Martha and others in this congregation. I believe it for my father. Bless his heart. I believe it for my mother. Bless their heart. They knew Jesus. And so I look at this. God is not a man that he should lie. He promised this. We, according to his promise, look forward for a new heavens and new earth. The Lord Jesus himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. If God said it, I believe it. Amen? This is it, folks. And how did Jesus do it?
when Abraham had such a hard time? Well, Jesus was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Jesus was tempted by food. Jesus was tempted by sexuality. Jesus was tempted by power. But he was tempted in all points like his will. He didn't have that time that Abraham had. And maybe the answer is in John 3:34. As he submitted, God gave him the Spirit without measure. I'm more like Paul. And I would ask you, aren't you? Paul says in Romans 7:15, I don't understand what I do. For what I want to do, I don't do. But what I hate to do, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's so beautiful. Paul struggled. Peter struggled. I struggle. And I think, just guessing, you struggle too. Different times with your faith. Lord, why'd you do this? How's it going to work out? Just know that God is good. God loves you. God is not willing that any should perish. And God's going to work it out through His Son. I want to thank God for old man Abraham. I do. He struggles with issues that I've struggled with. He struggles with things that you struggle with. He's a human being that struggled like we are. And God chose the oldest man He could and got him even 25 years older and then created a miracle through him and Sarah. Because God is God, the Almighty El Shaddai. Thank God for Jesus who showed us the way. John 16, Brother Rufus called me 6 o'clock before the service. He said, tell everybody hello. He says, I'm praying for you and y'all pray for him. Brother Rufus's favorite verse is John 16:33. In this world you will have trouble, Jesus said. But take heart, I've overcome the world. True Abrahamic faith is believing God does and is exactly what He says in His Word. We need to listen, we need to act, we need to believe, we need to love, we need to know and surely trust and always worship like old man Abraham. Now, it may not take you 25 years to get there, but get in the process and God will bless you. Amen? You know, I don't know how else to explain Abrahamic faith. If it's here, I believe it. You know, we don't have to go to creeds. We don't have to go to church traditions. I'm for quoting our beliefs. And then if someone's got a problem, they don't have a problem with me. They have a problem with the Word of God. That's Abrahamic faith. God said it. I believe it. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You want to say something else? Go for it, Rocky. See what happens. You work it out. I used to be intimidated in my youth a little bit. I don't care anymore. Maybe that's what old age does. When you believe God is going to do what God says He's going to do, you're almost like Paul, fought a good fight, finished the course, kept the faith. Let's go. I'll wait for Jesus' coming. That's Abrahamic faith. Whatever the Bible says, I believe. And finally, old man Abraham got to that point, maybe at 110 years old. Finally, old man Joe Martin will get to it when he's 70 years old. But God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Amen?